Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts. It's your boy, Minister Stevie T. And hey, at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time, I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
What's wrong with it?
E-M-D.
What done got into it? What's wrong with black? Lord, I got it in my feet.
We'll be right back.
Now a moment of silence.
Yes, 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 yes. This is the last Mantle of God Empowerment program from 2013. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you made it past all that, you might be a spirit-filled believer. Amen. Amen. Shout out to all my Baptist, Pentecostal, non-denominational Baptist, Methodist, amen, Holy Rollers, Bible Thumpers, Bible Believers, amen. We welcome you here to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I'm your host, Minister Faith Walker, amen. We got an anointed broadcast for you on tonight, amen. So, amen, just set your hearts in mind, amen. I know you're probably running around, amen, if you're in the airports or World Wide Web, amen. You're online, amen, traveling to and fro, amen. Just kick back and just allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to you on tonight, amen. But let's go into a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up and bringing us through the day, Lord God. And now, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you touch your pastor on tonight, Lord God. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us both, Lord God. And, Lord God, let your power of your anointing, Lord God, let us connect with the anointing of this broadcast, Lord God, the anointing that's designed and predestinated for this day, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just release angels taking authority over everything in the realm that's not like you, Lord God, and sanctify these lines, Lord God. Sanctify the web, Lord God. Have everybody in their respectable places here by divine assignment, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, and I declare and I decree all the crooked is now made straight by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Psalms 12. It says that, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved ever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He had dispersed, he had given to the poor. His righteousness endured forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I have just read in Psalm 112, blessed are not only the hearers, but the doers of God's eternal word. And amen for those of you who are joining us on tonight for the very first time. We are here every Monday night at 9 o'clock for the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. And definitely you can catch us back here on Sunday night, amen, for the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program, where we interview various gospel artists, national, regional, and also local, and we break underground artists as well, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you wasn't on here last night, we have an anointed man of God that was on last night, St. Woods, amen. He's a Kingdom lyricist out of Ohio. You can go back in the archive at blogtalkradio.com/Nathan on the spot. You go and listen to the episode and definitely be blessed. He has a project coming out called Doves and Honey. You could definitely find him. You can Google him. His name is St. Woods. He's on YouTube. He's an anointed Kingdom lyricist in the name of Jesus Christ. And so now, amen, at this time on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, on 9 p.m., we call it the Pastoral Mantle Night. Amen. We got this man of God. He's come back for round two, amen. Round two, amen. He's anointed man of God. He's the associate pastor at Fresh Start Church in Atlanta, Georgia, amen. He moves by the Spirit of God, amen. I was out of town, amen, when this man of God came on, amen. But I thank God that I caught him and had the chance to interview his mantle firsthand, amen. He connects with the anointing, amen. He's a shepherd, amen. He's a shepherd, amen. God has raised him up as a last day pastor, amen. And I also like that it's very few pastors, amen, I salute in this hour, amen. It's such a critical hour. Another one is Pastor Tory Montgomery, but also this man of God, amen. Pastor Isaiah Robinson, amen. Seen his sermons, heard of him, amen, and now we about to bring him forth at this time, amen, the associate pastor of Fresh Start Church of Atlanta, Georgia, Pastor Isaiah Robinson.
Hey, good evening, good evening. I'm so excited to be on the broadcast this evening. Honored to participate in what the Mantle of God broadcast is doing, and I'm just humbled. Anytime that my voice gets heard by, you know, even one person, and I'm able to influence even one person, I consider it an honor and a privilege. So thank you so much, and I'm ready to get into it. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to dialogue. I'm ready to discuss some things.
Amen.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh man, I'm blessed. I'm just anticipating this this transition that we already into, amen, and just what the Lord has for this new season that's upon us, man. It's a wonderful thing. Everybody, if you haven't left your gifts at the altar and made right anything, it's such a critical season upon us. So it's just anticipating it all.
Yeah. And, you know, 2013 went by like a lightning bolt, and here we are, you know, on the precipice of a brand new year, and I know a lot of people are trying to figure out how to approach the new year, you know, how to prioritize, what things to kind of put on their list of to-dos first. And I kind of want to speak to that, particularly, you know, to those that are the household of faith, those that are within the body of Christ. I think it's important as we go into 2014 to establish a firm foundation. We're trying to build a building, an edifice for God that is beautiful, that's you know, honorable, and that's respectable. But in order for the building to be beautiful that we're trying to build, we have to consider the foundation that we're building upon. And that's really where my heart has been probably the past 3-4 months, just kind of looking at foundational things that we often overlook within our local churches because we're so busy, you know, teaching on prosperity, or we're busy teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, or we're busy teaching on other things, which are all valid, but sometimes we got to kind of go back to the foundational things to ensure that the structure that we built is standing on firm foundation. And so that's kind of where I'm at and where I've been, man, and I'd love to kind of dig into it.
Amen. For those who don't know, for those who may be joining first time, we got a lot of first-time listeners on tonight, amen. How were you called to the mantle of pastor? We know in the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, he has gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. How did the Lord call you to the mantle of the pastor?
Well, basically when I was 17 years old, I gave my life to the Lord. I grew up in church, spent all my life kind of in the back pew saying, when I get older, I'll surrender my life to Christ. But as a teenager, I just kind of wanted to do my own thing and wanted to live my own life. Now, I went through an extremely difficult family crisis, and it was at that point, 17 years of age, kind of trying to navigate through this family crisis, that I decided to surrender my life to the Lord. And 3 months after giving my life to the Lord, I was asked to teach a youth Sunday school class, and I was kind of taken aback after I was asked to teach the Sunday school class, because although I had grown up in church, I didn't know theology, I didn't know good doctrine. I had grown up in church and I heard everything secondhand, but I didn't know myself, and here I was kind of thrust into this new arena of teaching young people, and they were all impressionable and they were all clean slates and they had no idea. So I had to develop an appetite for the Word, and not just an appetite for the Word, but an appetite for rightly dividing the Word. Really, that's kind of – I wish I had more of a miraculous type of story. I know some people that, you know, an angel visits them, or some people, you know, they're on ICU, and they're in the hospital in ICU, and you know, they have a near-death experience, and they're called that way. For me, it was – salvation, and then a man of God, an elder within the church, an authority within the church, saying that he saw something on me that I didn't see in myself, and opening up the door for me to function in an area that I didn't even realize I was gifted in. But once I started functioning in it, you know, the Holy Spirit really started to reveal to me that this is what I was created and made to do, and I've been kind of walking in it ever since. And so that's why I'm standing here today.
Amen, amen. Now, we know the prophet Jeremiah said in the scriptures, and this is off script, I'm just flowing in the anointing right now. Jeremiah said that he will raise up pastors that will give, that will feed according to knowledge and understanding. Do you feel that the pastors that are doing the job right now, whether they're called or whether they just went, do you feel that they're doing what the Lord has called them to do in an hour for those that you are seeing out there?
I mean, you know, there's definitely a difference between the office of pastor and the gift of pastor. You have thousands of believers that have the gift of pastor that might not necessarily serve in the office of pastor. And then you have, you know, guys out there that are serving in the office but don't necessarily have the gift. And I do think that it takes kind of a collision of both of those realities in order to produce a pastor that's able to function to his highest capacity, to his high level. And, yes, we do have men out there that are pastors and that are gifted particularly and specifically in that area. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, the pastor and teacher are indistinguishable. So I know that, you know, we have the fivefold ministry gifts and it says pastor and teacher, and it looks like it could be distinguished in the text, but in the Greek, it's they're together. It's pastor, teacher. So yeah, you do have these men that know that they're not called to be, you know, they're not called to plant many churches, and they're not called to, you know, they might not be called to big platforms or big stages, but they are blossoming where they're planted, and they are comfortable in the skin that they're in, and they just love shepherding and caring for God's people. And I believe that all those pastors are really trophies of God's grace. And so, I think that there are some out there that are doing the job and doing it well.
Amen. I agree with you. So you're saying basically, and it's just something fresh. I know a lot of people are like, what? He, the office of a pastor? But I thought, so you're saying, amen, pastor, that there are some that are more like serving in the administrative function of a pastor instead of functioning by the anointing that conditions and make a person of God.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there's a difference between a gifting and an office, and the two should correlate, but they don't always correlate. And you do have some people that are so enamored with what they think is the glitz and the glamour of pastoring that they jump into that office without having the gift, and they wonder why they're not growing, or they wonder why they're not seeing progress, or they wonder why they're frustrated or they're stressed out. It's because they're not gifted to do what the office requires. And yes, that you know they're leading the ministry, they're involved in the administrative work of the ministry. But if you don't have this Holy Spirit given gift to shepherd and care for and love and look after and watch over God's people, then serving in the office becomes just a kind of tedious, everyday routine that is devoid of power without that true, you know, spiritual gifting. It's possible, and that's why I believe we have so many churches is because we do have a lot of guys and women that kind of jump out there without the gifting, and they're just attracted to the glitz, the glamour, and what they think is this lifestyle that never really materializes because they weren't really called to do it.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. For those of you who are on blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot on the World Wide Web, you can definitely call in, press 1 at any time. Definitely, you can definitely ask the questions to the pastor. Or if you need prayer, amen. We don't mind, you know, putting a heart on everything and meeting the need, amen. Because that's what we do in this hour, amen. So we about to go in, amen. So what you're saying, pastor, now why is it, why is it that in this hour we see a lot of people operating in the gifts administratively, like we was talking about? Like, we may have people who are not necessarily anointed to be apostles, but they're going forth administratively and say, hey, I'm apostle because I am building. I am building people. I am building people. But they might not be building people. They're just feeding them as a pastor or as a shepherd.
Because we live in an age of what I call celebrity Christianity, where, you know, you can turn on the television and you can see, you know, some of them are very capable, competent men preaching in front of crowds of thousands. And because, you know, this image is readily available, as soon as we turn on our TV, a lot of people are drawn to it and enamored by it. And then they see these titles, and without fully really knowing exactly what these titles mean, they covet them and they seek them. And they say, okay, well, this guy is an apostle, and, you know, I kind of know a little bit about what an apostle is about. I read, you know, the Apostle Paul, and I read 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I stand in 2 Corinthians. He's defending his right to be an apostle, so maybe, you know, it's something that I, and without fully understanding and realizing that, you know, the office of apostle, you know, is different today than it was in Paul's day, but without realizing that, they kind of step out and do it, and then you have some guys that are just gifted to be pastors, but because, you know, this desire to be more than what they are, which I think kind of is rooted in pride, for some of them, not for all of them, because I don't want to make a sweeping indictment against all of my brothers and sisters in Christ out there, but for some of them, it's just this desire to be bigger than they are, greater than they are, more grand than they are. So even though they're gifted to be pastors, they attach these titles that are kind of arbitrary, and then they go out there and serve in that capacity, and it's really kind of just, it's really meaningless. And then, you know, also you have these ordination meals online where, you know, where you can go and you can pay $60 and somebody will anoint or ordain you, and somebody will, you know, and so you don't have to go through a process, and you can just kind of go on a website, pay your money, somebody will fly down, put their hands on you for the money that you pay them.
Now, Pastor, before you go any further, let's stop it right there, because we want to help somebody, because you just said something powerful right there by the anointing about people who go online and they look for organizations to ordain them apostles, prophets, evangelists, whatever. Explain the dangers of the spiritual transfer of a person who has not been sent and they're laying hands on you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's clear that we're not to lay hands on any man suddenly, and that if we're going to appoint anybody to any office of spiritual authority, that we have to take time to really look at their fruits. We've got to make sure they match the qualifications of the office based on 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the exhortation of the Apostle Paul. You know, it's not just something that we can, you know, get a phone call about, pick up the phone call. I don't know you. I've never met you. I've never listened to any of your sermons. I've never seen your walk. I've never walked with you as an accountability partner, but yet I'm going to fly out there, lay my hands on you, and then I'm going to put a stamp on you as a spiritual authority within the church. That is totally antithetical to the way that the early church worked. The early church worked in close proximity to each other, where the fruits of those that were in spiritual authority could be examined, the lifestyle, the personal testimony, the doctrine, to ensure that they weren't novices going out there teaching heresy. You know, all of these things were examined in the early church before anybody was promoted to any type of spiritual authority. We've gotten away from that example. And now you just got guys that, you know, hey, you give me $500. I don't even need to know you. But I'll come down there and lay hands on that. Dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous.
My Lord, 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. You are tuning to EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We're here every Monday night at 9. We have the man of God in the building, Pastor Isaiah Robertson, Associate Pastor at Fresh Start Church. Atlanta, Georgia is definitely in the building. ATL, we see you out there definitely at any time. You can press 1 and show your love to this man of God. If you have any questions or you desire prayer, you may do so at any time. Amen. But getting back into it, amen. We know that Paul's, the Word of God declares, it says that make your calling an election. Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, does the enemy, our adversary, the devil, he would rather have a person out of position in their mantle than to be in position, because then they could tap into the fullness of that anointing. Is that true, Pastor, in a sense, that the enemy would rather get us under our calling than on our calling?
Well, it's clear to me that the enemy is not just the liar, but he's the father of lies. So if he can prop up somebody that is not seasoned, is not well studied, is not has motives that aren't pure and that aren't Christ honoring, and if he can prop them up and get them in leadership roles over flocks, then not only does he have the leader, but he has the followers of that leader. So, I think the enemy is seeking, to promote and even prop up these leaders that are not espousing correct doctrine, who are not, walking according to the example of the apostles, and who are just kind of operating out of the flesh. And I think it brings glory to his kingdom to see men and women operating that way, because he has all of their followers that are being misled also. And it's a tragedy, but the good thing about it is that there are those that are out there that are still holding up the bloodstained banner, that are still, rightly dividing the word of truth, that are still shining as beacon lights within the body of Christ to really be a contrast to those that are just kind of walking in arrogance.
Now, you was talking about a foundation earlier. We know Paul also talked about in the epistles. He talked about we are built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Yes. How important is that, those two dimensions of the apostles and prophets, to the functioning of the New Testament church?
Well, it's clear that those giftings are still available for the New Testament church. Anybody that comes along and says that the office of apostle, prophet, or even the miraculous gifts has ceased is really, really, really cutting the word to shreds. You have to really read a lot into the text in order to walk away with this idea that there are no modern-day apostles, there are no modern-day prophets, and there are no miraculous gifts still in existence today. But you do have men and women out there that believe that. No, all of the gifts are still available for the New Testament church today, for the equipping and the edification of the body of Christ. That these are vital functions that when walked in properly and used accurately, they equip believers and they help believers to mature, they help believers to grow, they help believers to deepen their walk and relationship with the Lord. So these offices and these giftings are critical. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all still existing, all still needed, all still vital, and they all have to work together in order for the body of Christ to experience a robust spiritual experience.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We have Pastor Isaiah Robertson, Associate Pastor of Fresh Start Church, Atlanta, Georgia, in the building as we are talking about the various foundations of the mantles and the state of the New Testament church. Amen. So, Pastor, what can hinder, as a leader, we know as you as a leader, amen, pastoring, what can hinder some of the things that can hinder the growth of a church?
Oh, man, there's so much. First of all, you know, if there's not a clear vision. You know, without a vision, the people are going to perish. They're going to cast off the strength. They're not going to know where to turn or how to walk or you know, they need a vision. So the vision has to be articulated. The vision has to be communicated. And the vision has to be clear and cogent. Without a clear vision, then there can't be any growth because, you know, there's nothing to grow towards. Also, you know, kind of back to my original thought, I think it's difficult to ask God to grow your ministry if your ministry is not foundationally sound. And I'm talking about doctrinally, foundationally, theologically sound. I do think it's almost kind of swinging at the wind to pray, Lord, grow my church, Lord, grow my church. But yet when, you know, when you get up and when you preach, you're theologically inaccurate. Your doctrine is off. You're not well studied. You know, you're up there kind of saying things that are more kind of self-help than they are spiritually, you know, spiritually weighty. And so, you know, I definitely think that can be a hindrance. That if we seek, you know, if we seek to have members added to the church, then we have to continue in the apostle doctrine. And I definitely do believe it. That false teaching can be a hindrance, yes.
So as you were saying, as far as the doctrine, when Almighty God sends a man or a woman, when he sends a person in the realm, in the earth realm, he sends them already equipped to be able to rightly divide the word of truth spiritually, doctrinally, and historically.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no schooling. You don't need to go through Nicodemus school of thought.
Right. Right. Well, I think this is what I think. I don't think that seminary is absolutely necessary. I don't. I mean, you can take the testimony of Acts chapter 4. John and Peter, and you know, they were seen as untrained men, but they had been with Jesus. That was a caveat. They were untrained men, but they had been with Jesus. The Apostle Paul was an extremely, you know, scholarly man, but when it came to you know, he was an Orthodox Jew. He was a Pharisee, so he was trained in that vein. But when it came to his conversion, you know, he was blind, and then after the scales fell off his eyes, he was pushed right into ministry. So it wasn't like the Lord said, "Okay, Paul, you know, you're a Pharisee and you're scholarly pertaining to that, but now you need to, you know, become scholarly about the gospel." No, the scales fell off his eyes, and he got pushed into teaching the gospel. So I don't think that seminary is absolutely necessary, no. But I do think that we should seek to learn and grow. I mean, you know what? The Bible is so deep, and it's so weighty, and it's so massive in its wisdom that in this lifetime, we can never mine all of its treasures. You know, we're going to be learning this book more and more the longer that we live. And so our desire and our goal as teachers of the Word should be to continually study the Word, because you can study a passage and think that you know it, and then go to it the very next week and see something totally different in it. And that's just the wonders of the Word of God. So I do think we need to be students of the Word, even though I don't necessarily think that seminary is absolutely necessary in every situation.
Amen. So what has the Lord, shifting gears a little bit, what has the Lord instructed you concerning the body of Christ in 2014?
Yeah. Well, my ministry is really kind of threefold. And I kind of boil it down to three words: simple, powerful, and relevant. Simplicity really, really pertains to servanthood. That I am called, my highest honor is to be the greatest servant. And any time that I can operate in that function, I'm giving God glory, and I am doing what I was called to do. I don't care what kind of platforms the Lord puts me on. I don't care where he sends me. I don't care what he calls me to do. At the end of the day, I am a servant. And that's what simplicity is all about. It's about understanding that if you know, I'm given the opportunity, the chance to preach out somewhere, and somebody invites me to come and speak at their service or their conference, then I'm not coming there as a superstar. I'm not coming there with demands. I'm not coming there trying to be grand and trying to, you know, trying to get the spotlight. I'm coming there as a servant. What do you guys need? How would you guys like me to function? What would you guys like me to talk about? You know, my gift is subject to that house if I'm there, because I've been called not to be grand, but I've been called to serve. So simplicity is number one. Power is just the ability to motivate, the ability to speak in such a way that the downcast and the downtrodden hear something that lifts their spirit, lifts their spirits. You know, something that will have somebody leaving feeling like there's still hope. You know, I'm big on, you know, ministering in such a way that even the person that was on the brink of suicide leaves saying, "Well, I've got a reason to live." You know, that's really one of the bedrocks of my ministry, is to motivate, to encourage, to really stir up this idea that everything is going to be okay inside the hearts and minds of believers. And then relevant is really about understanding your relationship with the Lord, understanding that there's a difference between religion and relationship. There's a difference between walking with the Lord and walking in tradition and religion, and really promoting a relationship with the Lord over just being simply religious or just being, you know, a churchgoer. And that's what relevant is about. It's not necessarily about, you know, wearing the trendiest clothes or, you know, having all this PowerPoint and all sorts of stuff. Even though all this stuff is wonderful and I love technology, but relevant is more so about helping people to distinguish between relationship and religion, and helping people to desire, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and understanding that knowing God is the greatest opportunity that we have as human beings down here on this earth.
Amen. So from what I understand, y'all at Fresh Start Church, y'all doing a lot of things, especially 2014. You got the Fresh Start Church Conference coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so every Tuesday in the month of January, we're going to have a revival, and we're going to have different speakers at each revival. Keith and Mary Hudson, Pastor Alex Brown, that's actually pastors, our location in South Atlanta, Bishop John Francis out of England, and Apostle Travis Jennings, who's also out of Atlanta. So every night in January, we're gonna have a different voice come to the house and just minister to us, bless us, and help us to start 2014 off right. So it's gonna be great. I mean, you know, we're bringing in Bishop Francis all the way from London. So that ought to let you know how serious, you know, our pastor is about, you know, getting quality voices in there that will speak encouragement into our lives and really kind of get us ready to run this race in 2014. It's going to be fun, man, and I invite anybody and everybody to come.
My God, my God. So it seems like Fresh Church done tapped into it, amen. They start in January off sowing a humongous first fruit, amen. Which is the word of God. They sowing the word, amen.
Yep.
My God, that's a wonderful thing, amen, what y'all doing. They're just tapping into it, amen.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No. It's a joy, man. You know, the church, Fresh Start Church, we're 4 years old, going on 5 years old, and the Lord has really blessed the ministry. We're at about 500 a Sunday, which is great for a church that's only been open for 4 years. And really, it's because of the vision of my lead pastor, Pastor Marquise Boone, and his dedication to the ministry and his heart for the people. And so it's a great place to be. I love being there. He and I have been friends for years because when we were both youth pastors, I used to be a youth pastor, he was a youth pastor, we connected and we did ministry together then. So now to be doing it on this level is a joy.
My God. Shout out to Pastor Mark. Amen.
Yeah.
Definitely love what you're doing out there. Amen. The vision and everything. Amen.
Yes, sir.
talking about the pastoral mantle, amen. Mm-hmm. Can a person be a pastor and mm-hmm. not have a shepherd's heart?
Definitely. I think that goes back to kind of this distinction between the office of pastor and the gifting of pastor. You can serve, you know, in the office, but unless you have the gift, then you're not going to have a heart for people. And if you don't have a heart for people, you're going to be abusive. You're going to be manipulative. You're not really going to protect your sheep from the inevitable wolves that will come amongst the flock. It's not going to be what God wants it to be. So definitely, and my heart really goes out to, you know, to believers who are sheep that are sitting under, you know, leadership that really doesn't have a heart for them. It's sad. It does happen. It's sad. But at the end of the day, I do believe that ultimately Jesus is the head of the church. And every pastor is just an under-shepherd, and Jesus is the chief shepherd. So all those that are really his are going to be kept by him. And, you know, no matter what type of spiritual experience we find ourselves in, whether it's life-giving or whether it's, you know, whether it's abusive, there's purpose in it. There's purpose in it. And the Lord is able to work all things according to the good of them that love him and are called according to that purpose. So I do rest in the fact that Jesus is the head of the church, but yeah, you know, there are churches open all over the country where there are men and women in position that really don't have a heart for the people. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy.
So we know that a person's life, we know that a person's mm-hmm. life is a journey. It's within itself.
Yeah.
Do you believe it somewhat that God will assign a church to a person to get them to a particular dimension operating in, and then maybe he'll assign another church to take them into a realm that the previous church couldn't take them into?
Well, I do believe in assignments. I do believe that, you know, you have the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle over churches in Ephesus and Corinth and all over kind of the region there, and when he went on his missionary journeys, his whole point was to establish churches in those areas and to see about churches that were already in existence. And so I do believe that some are called to have, you know, a wider purview or more influence or leadership kind of range in the body of Christ. But then I believe that there are some that are just called. There might be, you know, some pastors that are just called to pastor 40 people, and that is what they're called to do. That is their assignment. That's their lid. That's their leadership lid. In other words, you know, God has hardwired them specifically and uniquely to be able to handle that amount of people. And if they go over that amount of people, then it'll be beyond their ability to handle them, and so they have to understand that assignment and embrace that assignment without coveting something else, because not everybody is called to the nations. Not everybody is called. Not everybody is going to be, you know, a T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
You know, you do have some that are going to be given that calling to go out and minister in continents all across this world, but then you're going to have some that are just called to their corner, their neck of the woods, to their neighborhood, and there's no greater joy than blossoming where you're planted. For example, I'm an associate pastor. I'm not the lead pastor. I am number two, and I am excited about the role that I'm in. I'm excited about the ability to serve my lead pastor, and there's no desire of mine to usurp his authority or to try to ascend and be the lead pastor at Fresh Start Church, because I'm happy with where God has me now. And I think it's incumbent upon every man of God to discern what their assignment is, accept it, embrace it, and not try to overstep it. Because it's in the overstepping that you get burnt out, that stress comes, that, you know, that it becomes too hard to handle. Because if God gives you the capacity to handle 100 people, then you need to praise God for those 100 and not try to go after 5,000. If your assignment is 100, thank God for those 100. So okay. Yeah.
So you saying, I'm just flowing with your pastor. So you're saying a lot of times in the body of Christ, what we have is we get so focused on the number game, the whole numbers.
Right.
How many you packing
right.
in, Reb? I'm packing in about 5,000 this week.
Exactly.
I'm doing about
exactly.
two last week, but I'm gonna get it back up to about 9,000 on next week. And we get so focused on the number game, and we don't really pay attention to the people being built, the inner working
exactly.
man being built.
Exactly. What we all have to understand is that the mega church is an anomaly, right? The average church in America has anywhere from 50 to 100 people. That's the average church in America, and it's abnormal to exceed that. It's a grace and a blessing of God when a church outgrows that. So there's nothing wrong with ministering to 50 people. And you ought to minister to those 50 people as if it was 5,000 people, because those people are just as valuable, just as precious, just as meaningful to the Lord as the members of Joel Osteen's church or T.D. Jakes' church, and they're no less important. And I think that I think that it's great when God grows a ministry. I do believe in growth, and I do believe that there's nothing wrong with having numbers in the church, but at the same token, I also think that it's an even greater blessing to know and understand your assignment, to be comfortable in your assignment, and to operate in that assignment without coveting somebody else's assignment. I think that's even a greater blessing than having a mega church. To be comfortable in your assignment and the skin that you're in is an even greater blessing to pastor 5,000. Because truth be told, there are a lot that are pastoring 5,000 that aren't comfortable, for example, I don't know if you're familiar with a guy named Francis Chan, but Francis Chan was out of, I think, Simi Valley, California. He pastored about a 2,000-member church out there. He was going all over the country doing conferences, and he was a noted speaker, keynote speaker at a lot of different conferences across the country. And one day he resigned from the pastorate. He left his church because he said he just didn't feel like that's what God wanted him to do. So he stepped down from his church, and I think he spent some time in a third world country, India somewhere. Just kind of ministering to people and doing ground evangelism and stuff like that. And, if you YouTube the guy now, Francis Chan, he loves the Lord, he's following the Lord, but he has no desire to go back in to lead pastoral ministry because he's fine where he is. And a lot of people look at Francis Chan and say, this guy's crazy. He had a 2,000-member church. He was set. Why would he step down? Because he was more concerned with fulfilling his assignment than he was with being grand and large. And I think that the stepping down was more of a blessing than if he would have stayed knowing that his time was up.
My goodness. You have about 10, 15 minutes left. You can definitely get your calls in. I must be doing my job, amen, because y'all ain't hassling me tonight, amen. So I thank God for that, amen. 347-945-5416. But also your comments are welcome. Just picking with y'all, amen. 347-945-5416, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen. If you have any questions, amen, any comments, amen, you can definitely reach us at onthespotnathan or nathanonthespot@outlook.com. You send your questions there or anything, or even in your advertisement, we'll do our very best to get it on, or the information, or Pastor Hill or myself will definitely get back with you, amen. So you and Pastor Mark, amen, y'all pastors, amen. Say, for example, you have a person in your congregation, Pastor, I feel I'm called to be a prophet. I feel like I'm called to be a prophet. Now, the pastoral dimension, the shepherding dimension, the teaching dimension, y'all got that on smash. But then now have somebody who's saying, God is calling me to the prophetic. How do you handle that?
Well, my pastor functions as both a pastor and a prophet. He's actually gifted in that area. And so anybody that kind of raises their hand and says that they're called to the prophetic, my pastor takes under his wing personally. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I'm comfortable not being a prophet. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor all the way through. And I'm comfortable not being a prophet, so I think there might be a little bit of a conflict if I was trying to, you know, step in and say, well, let me show you how to be a prophet, even though I'm a pastor. But because my pastor functions in that vein, he kind of takes those under his wing, and they learn directly from him how to function in that arena. So my pastor and I, man, we have great synergy. You know, he's strong in the areas that I'm weak, and vice versa. And so, but definitely, I'll tell you what my pastor would say. Now, my pastor would say, great, you're called. I got to see you serve first. So wonderful. Yeah, that's excellent that you're called to be a prophet, but how have you served the ministry? He feels like no matter how prophetic you are, you should still be able to clean a toilet. No matter how prophetic you are, you should still be able to wash some windows or to take out some garbage. And so, you know, his big thing is, great gifting. I'll acknowledge that. But if there's no great service to go along with the great gifting, then you might be a prophet, but you won't be one that's recognized at Fresh Start Church.
Okay, since we went there, I'm going to flow right along with you, amen.
Okay.
In the Bible, Jesus, he had 12 apostles, amen.
True.
And
true.
Simon Peter said, well, I'm not, Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He said,
right.
Well, Lord, well, go ahead and wash my arm, just paraphrase. I'm just wearing my arm, my feet, everything on me, amen.
Right.
Why we don't have many apostles washing feet in this hour?
Good question, man. Because for some reason they forget this simplicity element of ministry, that it's about serving. That is so key, man, that you bring up John chapter 13 and the foot washing. Jesus was God in the flesh. He left his throne in glory to come down here on this earth to die for sinners. He was God in the flesh. Yet here we see him in John chapter 13 condescend to 12. One of them would betray him. You know what I mean? And he washes their feet in a sign of humility, and then he tells them to do the same. And
hello.
I think that we can get so sidetracked by the applause of men, the accolades of men, the esteem of men. That stuff can get to your head, man. I mean, when you're up there preaching and you're preaching in front of, you know, thousands of people and people are on their feet and cheering you on, and then once you get done preaching, they're coming up to you, they're shaking your hand, and they're saying, that was an awesome word and it changed my life and all sorts of stuff. It is so easy to get that misconstrued and to think that the glory belongs to you. And so what happens is you develop this idea and this attitude that you have done this, and you forget that all you are is just a hollowed-out vessel that has been filled by the Spirit to accomplish God's purposes. That's it. That's all. Every man and woman that's doing the work of God and that's doing it effectively is just simply a hollowed-out vessel that the Spirit has filled and that the Spirit is using. And when we understand that and realize that, then we'll go back to washing feet. But as long as we feel like we deserve the credit, and as long as we feel like, you know, people are shouting because we're articulate and because of the way we put together that phrase or because of the way we squall or we holler, then we won't wash feet. We'll grow more and more arrogant, and look out, because you know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So, you know, it's
oh,
just,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Out there in the wilderness, isn't it? Amen.
Right. So, you know, he tasted the effects of pride firsthand. So, you know, I definitely believe that Jesus, you know, is our ultimate example, and Jesus, who was God in the flesh, condescended to men to the point where he washed their dirty, dusty, dingy feet and then commanded them to do the same. And so, yeah, that's definitely, you know, we should all aspire to model.
Well, I think the last question I will give to you on tonight, amen, what do the church... Muslim, we have the highest divorce rates in the country, amen. the church, what the church must do to give back to enjoying true kingdom marriage. I know that we can go all night on that by itself.
Yeah.
But just
to
give a roundabout, I know I just feel like we need to help somebody on tonight.
Yeah, you know, gosh, I wish I had more time to talk about this. I think so often we spend so much time teaching people about their relationship with God. We forget to tell them that we can measure our relationship with God and how our relationship with God is looking by how our relationship with people look. In other words, you know the quality of the vertical relationship with God based on the quality of our horizontal relationships. So if our relationship with our spouse is jacked up and I'm not loving my wife like Christ loves the church, nor is she submitting to me, then that's a reflection of my relationship with God. If you remember, Adam, before the fall, had a perfect relationship with God.
Yes.
Perfect relationship with God.
Yes.
But yet God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for you to be alone. So he took out of his rib and fastened Eve because he wanted to show something in this union between man and wife. He wanted to show that even though I have a perfect relationship, I still want you to learn how to walk with another human being. Even though, Adam, you walk with me in the cool of the day, I still want you to understand effective interpersonal relationships and how that relates to how you walk with me intimately on a daily basis. And I think if we can get back to teaching people that how you function in your marriage is a direct reflection of what your relationship with the Lord looks like, then people will begin to say, oh wow, let me really focus on this.
My goodness. This is wonderful. I know we can go on that topic by itself, amen.
Yeah.
Let everybody know where y'all located at. Give them all your social media sites, the church webs. Give them all that information.
Yeah, so the church is 1965 Evergreen Boulevard in Duluth, Georgia, 30096. The website is www.myfreshstartc.com. Again, that's www.myfreshstartc.com. And then my personal Facebook is www.facebook.com/I-R-Robertson-Ministries. That's www.facebook.com/IR-Ministries. And love to hear from anybody that was able to listen to this broadcast tonight.
Amen. Well, y'all have heard it here first tonight, amen, as we bring another episode of the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We have just put Pastor Isaiah Robertson, his mantle, on the spot, amen. He demonstrated his mantle very well by the Spirit of God, amen, about what it means to be a pastor, what the Lord has instructed him in his hour, amen. Him and Pastor Mark, the head pastor, the prophet of that congregation at Fresh Start Church, the work they are doing over there, be sure to check them out. The Fresh Start Church Conference, that's next year. I believe y'all doing it every Tuesday in January. Every Tuesday in January, amen. They sowing that seed, amen, of the Word of God, amen, into the lives. If you're in the metropolitan area of ATL, 278, amen, Decatur, where it's greater, amen,
yep.
Peachtree, Dunwoody, you definitely come on out and support this move of God, amen. You need a church home, you go see Pastor Mark and Pastor Isaiah, amen. They're sowing the Word of God, amen, and birthing people out in this hour in Jesus' name. Pastor, you got final words.
Hey, look, I just really appreciate the opportunity. I do want to encourage every believer out there, make sure your foundation is solid in 2014. Don't build anything in 2014 on a foundation that's shaky. Get your foundation secure and build from there.
Amen. Pastor, go ahead and take us out in prayer.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this time, Lord. We're thankful for your grace and your providence, for your ability to capture us, whether we're in our homes or whether we're in our cars or whether we're on our computers, and to speak to us to God in a way that is thought-provoking. I thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this man of God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that's in store in 2014 for this ministry. Lord, would you keep our hearts fixed on you? Would you keep our gaze fixed on you? Would you allow, Lord Jesus, your will to be done and every will of the enemy be frustrated? We love you. We praise you for all that you are, all that you've done, and all that you continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We'll definitely see you back here on Sunday night, amen, for the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program. Amen. On behalf of EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot, we wish you a happy New Year's, amen, and a God night, amen. God bless you. We out in Jesus' name.
I love you more, Jesus. I need you more.